Thank you, Micah. That's a perfect song for what we're looking at tonight. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. We started a series of messages in the book of James just a couple weeks back, and we're hoping to continue through this. And really what it's, the book of James is an outstanding book because really, as we've said to you before, it's really where, it's kind of right in our wheelhouse, if you will, of life, meaning that it's very practical Christianity. The book of James, as has been said, it's really kind of shoe leather Christianity. It's a, you know, it deals with, you know, everyday life. It deals with, you know, it deals with, as we've talked about last week, it deals with trials, it deals with tribulations, it deals with a lot of different aspects and ways of looking at it. And tonight, as we dig into this portion of Scripture, we'll look at a few verses. But James is going to lay out for us, in the context of trials, he's going to lay out for us the importance of God's wisdom. So tonight we're going to talk about that, the importance of God's wisdom in trials. So if you found your place in the book of James chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Last week, we talked about, in verses 2 through 4, we talked about trials, and we talked about how trials come in all shapes and sizes. The Bible talks about that. They're, you know, we're not immune, if you will, to trials. But when you come now to verse number 5, James writes, he says, if any man lack wisdom, and again, contextually, we know it's right in the context after trials. If there's ever a time in our life that we need the wisdom of God, it's when we are, as Micah is saying tonight, is when we are in the valleys. It's when we are in our trials, when we are in tribulation. So James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessings again, God, on the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll use this service and use this sermon, not because I'm preaching it, but God, because it's your word, to encourage the hearts of your people. For those that may be watching by internet, God, that are in difficult times right now, we pray, Heavenly Father, that something that is said will, they'll be able to get hope from, and Lord, they'll be able to draw strength from you. Save those, Lord, that are lost. We also pray tonight for Julie Jackman as well, and Michael, and the loss of Julie's grandmother. We pray, God, you'll give grace in their life and give them comfort at this time. Use, God, this situation to save some of her family. And Father, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, when it comes to trials, we are, you know, we're not immune from them. I know sometimes, you know, when you talk about trials and when you talk about the Christian life, you know, for some reason there's a belief that just because you have Jesus means that you're always going to have good days. You're going to have, you know, days where you smile every day. You're going to have days where there's sunshine every day. But we know if you've lived for Jesus at all, you know that that isn't true. You know, it may be, you know, popular ideology, but we know it's absolutely not biblical. We know there's no Bible verses to support that if you have Jesus, all your days are going to be great. On the contrary, I will say that if you have Jesus, the good news is, if you have Christ your Savior, the wonderful blessing is to know that there isn't anything you can't go through in life that Jesus will not be with you in the middle of it. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. He promises to be with us every step of the journey. Matter of fact, Jesus says throughout his word that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Now that may sometimes sound as cliche, although we know it's biblical and although we know it's absolutely the word of God. Sometimes I think we can fail to realize what Jesus said there. Did you hear what Jesus said as I just said to you out of the book of John? Jesus said, I will never leave thee. I'll never leave ye. I'll never forsake you, right? So if Jesus Christ promises to never leave us, to never forsake us, guess what that tells me? He's with us in our valley. Amen? He's with us when we're in difficult situations. He's with us when we're doing great as far as spiritually, and we're ready to, you know, the proverbial ready charge hell with a water pistol, on fire for God. But he's also with us when we're not on fire for God. Amen? You tracking with me? He's with us when we feel like, you know, there isn't any mountain we cannot conquer. But he's also with us when we seem like the littlest of the trial seems to take us under and take us out. He's going to be with us during those times. But there are some things that we can hold on to. There are some things that we can grab a hold of and we can absolutely anchor ourselves in, whether we can anchor our souls in when it comes to trials. I don't know where you're at, but I think it's true. My preacher used to preach it. I think it's Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He loved Dr. Warren Wiersbe. But he used to say that when it comes to Christians, that we're either in a trial, we've either just come out of a trial, or we're headed for a trial. That's encouraging, is it not? We're either in a trial, we've just come out of a trial, or we're headed for a trial. So let that encourage you tonight. You say, preacher, but wait a minute. Why, if God loves us, why would the Lord allow us to go through trials? Let's switch that around. Because God loves us, he allows us to go through trials. Amen? You say, yeah, but preacher, no. The Bible tells us, in the book of Hebrews, as we've said, Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what does God use to build our faith? What does God use to build our trust in him? He uses trials. He uses difficult circumstances. He uses difficult situations. Look up here, young people. What are we looking at down there? A book? All right, we're not looking at a book. We should be looking at a Bible or looking at a preacher, all right? When it comes to trials, what do we learn? What do we think about? What do we see? James reminds us that there's three resources that the Lord has provided for trials. The first resource we see in verse number 5 is the resource of wisdom, God's wisdom. The second resource, as we've seen already in this text, is prayer. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So prayer is indeed something that we can anchor our souls in. And the third thing that we can anchor our souls in when it comes to in the midst of trials, verses 6-8, is faith. So there's three things. We can anchor ourselves in the wisdom of God that we're going to talk about. We can anchor ourselves through prayer. And we can anchor ourselves through faith. Those three things are absolutely foundational to the life of a believer if you're going to make it through the trial. If you're going to make it through the storm, you've got to have it. You've got to have God's wisdom. You've got to have times of prayer. You've got to have times where you understand that faith indeed will be able to sustain you. Faith indeed will be able to get you through whatever you're going through. So I'll give you a few thoughts under this. Notice, first of all, we see in this text the lack of wisdom. The lack of wisdom. James tells us there in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom. Look at that. If any of you lack wisdom. The word lack speaks of a deficit of wisdom. It's a banking term for being short of money. James is attempting to teach us that we have infinite resources at our disposal if we will choose to appropriate them. Our lack of wisdom, as one writer says, you know, causes us to look within. What can I do? Therefore, I decided. It causes us to look without. What would you do, or what do you think I should do? But ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to trials, in the context of our lack of wisdom, it should cause us to look up. Lord, what should I do? Or Lord, I need wisdom. Please use this trial to increase my wisdom of you, your people, and life, Lord. So James, in the context of wisdom, we see the lack of wisdom. We also talk about in the context of wisdom, look at chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says in chapter 4 of the book of James, verse 2, he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You say, preacher, wait a minute, are you telling me that when it comes to trials, are you telling me that sometimes perhaps the whole reason I lack wisdom in it is because I'm not asking God for his wisdom? That's exactly right. You've got to ask him for it. You say, preacher, friend, what do we say about trials? Trials come in our life to build our faith. They come into our life to build our dependence on God. That's really runs right with faith. Trials also come into our life. This is a good word. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn there. Second, just thought about this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That verse just came to my heart as I was looking at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what I believe. I'm of the deep conviction of this. You know, sometimes trials come in our life to build somebody else's faith. They will. Trials have come in our lives so that we're able to help somebody else that may someday go through that trial or perhaps is going through that same trial right now. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is tremendous. This is a portion of scripture that I've used many, many times with people. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That is a tremendous verse. Did you see that? Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. I'm grateful for the word all there. You know, I'm grateful because God, He's the God of all comfort. There's sometimes you need comfort because you lost a loved one. There's sometimes you need comfort because you're going through some physical trial. There's sometimes you need comfort because you're going through an emotional trial. There's sometimes you need comfort because you may be going through a financial trial. And you can continue to fill in the blank. You continue to use illustration. But the Bible declares, and Paul declares in this text, that God, He is the God of all comfort. We now look at verse number 4, and this is the verse. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That, there's a reason God comforts us in our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. The word trouble there means tribulation, right? We're able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you see that? That's a tremendous verse of scripture. You say, Pastor, are you telling me that the whole reason I may be going through a trial right now is God may one day use this situation that He is comforting me in to then allow me to comfort somebody else that's going through it? You better believe it, brother. Absolutely, He'll do that. You know what I love about that text? The Bible tells us that God, first of all, it's God that comforts us in our tribulation. But then He says, oh, by the way, I'm going to use this trial in your life, and here's what's going to happen. You now are going to be able to be like me, God says. You are then going to be able to comfort somebody else that's going through the same type of trial that you're going through. Hallelujah, bless His holy name. Amen. He's a wonderful God. That's another reason I love the local New Testament church. It's amazing to me how God does things. It's amazing to me how the Lord Jesus Christ often does things in our lives that we don't even realize it. We don't even see it. But I'm grateful to God for the local New Testament church. I'm not only grateful to God for the local New Testament church, I'm grateful to God for the family of God. Amen. Now again, many of you know that I'm facing a knee replacement. I'm going to get it done. I've been dealing with this stupid thing for 9 years. Had 4 surgeries, and I'm done with it. But anyway, going to have a knee replacement, November 28th. You say, why are you telling us that? Because I'm going to tell you how God works. This past Friday, myself, Brother Ryan, Jonathan, we went golfing. We went golfing early on that Friday morning. And, you know, Dano backed out on us. Loser. But anyway, Dano backed down on us. And so we get there, and we had, there was just 3 of us, and this guy, just coincidentally, right, he just shows up. He's like, hey, he says, my partner didn't show up. He said, would you mind if I joined up with you? And we're like, sure, man, no problem. And so he joins up with us, and we got to about, I don't know, 3rd hole, 4th hole, something like that. And, you know, just making small talk, and we start talking, and he goes, hey, you know how we do. I was like, hey, I said, you know, what do you do? He goes, well, I'm actually a pastor. I'm like, really? I said, I'm a pastor as well. I said, that's my assistant pastor, Brother Jonathan. And he goes, yeah. I said, I pastor a Baptist church in K-Pac, Michigan. And so we talked for a long time. Long story short, he graduated from Maranatha, so he and Jonathan hit it off. And, you know, just kept talking. He said, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with your knee surgery? Let me tell you what it has to do with my knee surgery. So as we kept talking, we get to another hole where Ryan and Jonathan put about 6 balls in the water, and it was really a blessing to watch that. It was really a great blessing because I had put 2 of them already. But anyway, ended up putting 3 of them in there and still got a 5. It's amazing, brother. Tell me what grace will do, brother. It's amazing. But anyway, so as we, you know, I'm getting ready to pick up the ball, and I'm like, oh, you know, just kind of my knee kind of bobbing. He said, what's wrong with your knee, man? I said, the preacher did. He said, what's wrong with your knee? I was like, well, I said, I'm actually getting ready to have a knee replacement. He goes, really? He goes, I said, yeah. And he goes, man, he said, I've had 2 knee replacements. Matter of fact, he said, I had my first knee replaced at 45 years of age. I'm 45. Did you hear that? He said, I had my first one at 45 years of age. He said, I had my other knee about 5 years ago. So he said, preacher, what does that have to do with anything? I asked him 1,000 questions. I said, hey, I said, you know, do you have any advice for me? And of course, he was able, and he said, preacher, come on, pastor, you really believe that? Yeah, because of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he gave me some, you know, some good advice, and he gave me some, you know, things of what to do, what not to do. And you know, and you say, pastor, do you really believe that God is so interested in our lives? Do you really believe, preacher, that God would put a pastor of a church on a golf course? His partner doesn't show up. Danny doesn't show up. You mean to tell me that God would do something like that? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. You know why? Because he loves us. But let me say something to you. He loves me. And he loves you. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. He is so obligated himself. Get this. And I hope you wrap your mind around this. He cares about every detail of your life. He cares about every detail of your life. That's the kind of God that he is. And I really sincerely mean it. You say, pastor, come on, it's just golf. No. I believe the Lord put him there. And as we talked and we continued to talk, we got to about the 18th hole, and we just continued to talk, and he had told us that he had been pastor of the church he's at for 18 years. And he was a little discouraged, Brother Tommy. He started telling us, and you could sense his heart. You could hear his heart. And he said, you know, Brother Tracy, he said, I've got some, you know, things in my church. And he wasn't bad-mouthing his people. He just said that they were, you know, some that were, you know, didn't really want to do anything. And then he said, but he said, you know what? He said, God's added a couple young families recently. He said, it's really encouraging. And we prayed. We prayed in our Sunday school class this morning that God would use those young couples to encourage the heart of that pastor. And, you know, and I said to him, I said, brother, move with the movers, man. I said, you just keep going. You keep serving the Lord. And, you know, we just tried to encourage him. And, you know, on a golf course. On a golf course. So that justifies me always wanting to golf less. I'm just telling you, it does. But you say, pastor, you honestly believe that? I do. I do with every fiber of my being. I'm of the deep conviction that the Lord Jesus loves me so much that he'll put somebody on a golf course just to encourage me because I'm facing a surgery. Go back to the book of James, and we'll just continue on in this. When it comes to the wisdom, when it comes to God's wisdom, you know, we see in Scripture that, so James is telling us, he said, first of all, know something. He goes, you lack it. If any man lack wisdom, if you have a deficit of wisdom, but let me just say something to you. We all in our flesh lack it. When it comes to wisdom, this God's wisdom here, when it comes to this type of wisdom, this isn't something that we muster up in our own strength. It isn't something that we, you know, that's intellectual to where we just muster it up in our intellect, or we can learn, you know, book smarts to get this kind of wisdom. No. This is a wisdom that only comes from God. It was Solomon who prayed that God would give him wisdom. Remember that? Solomon prayed and he asked God for wisdom. He could have asked for anything, and yet he says, God, give me wisdom, paraphrasing, so that he could lead God's people. And God gave him wisdom. You say, Pastor, you believe that God God gave Solomon wisdom. Are you telling me that God could give me that same kind of wisdom? That's exactly what I'm telling you. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. And he loves to give us wisdom. So we see, the lack of wisdom, but now let's learn about wisdom. So we see number two, learning about wisdom. When we come, one writer is Dr. A.T. Robertson that said, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the practical use of knowledge. Another writer says, he defines it as the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances and apply heavenly judgment to earthly situations. That's a good definition. Listen to that again. John Blanchard is his name. He said it is the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances and apply heavenly judgment to earthly situations. What a tremendous statement. It's godly understanding, right? It's the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances. Do you ever see God's hand on things? When you look at it from an earthly standpoint, it makes no sense. But when you try to look at it from God's perspective, it makes all the sense in the world. It makes all the sense in the world. You look back over your life and you look back over the situations and the things that you came out of. And the difficulties that you came out of. And the situations that you came out of. I was reached out one of Leslie's cousins. She works with, oh my goodness, what's it called? Compassion Pregnancy Center. Is that a name? I think it is. I think that's the name of it, but it's in Macomb County. And I think it's in Mount Clemens. But anyway, they work with young girls who are going to, they try to get them to not give up their babies for abortion. And so they work with them. And they no doubt God has used that ministry and saved many a baby from death. And so Abby reached out to me and she sent me a message through Facebook. She goes, Tracy, said, I'm just now hearing a little bit about your story as far as my childhood and my whole story. My whole story. I won't bore you with that. And, my mom even told me she was going to abort me and all that. Long story short, and she said, I was wondering, she said, we're getting ready to have a thing. It's a yearly thing. And we have, two or three people share their story. And she goes, would you be willing to come and share your story, at Compassion Pregnancy Center? I think it's the name of it. She said, would you be willing to share your story? And I haven't responded back to her. I just got it yesterday. But I'm going to respond back to her. And if my schedule allows it, I'm going to go share that story. He said, preacher, what's your point of all that? You know what I believe? Here's what I believe. I believe that God could use one man. This is amazing. And I say to him be glory. It has nothing to do with me. But wouldn't it be just like God to maybe use my story to perhaps allow a young girl to not give her baby up for abortion? Wouldn't it be just like God to do that? He's an amazing God. You say, Pastor, are you saying, Pastor, that God can turn a mess into a message? You better believe it. Are you saying, Preacher, that God can turn a test into a testimony? You better believe it. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. He knows every detail about me. He knows every detail about you. So let's learn a little bit about wisdom. Wisdom is required more than we realize. Wisdom is God's perspective given to us that allows us to take a complex situation and offer simple solutions. Wisdom originates from God and resides with Him. Johnny Hunt also writes, he says, wisdom allows us to take something complicated, make it simple. At times we take the simple and complicated. Wisdom is a gift from God that protects us. Get this. Wisdom is a gift from God that protects you from decisions that could haunt you for a lifetime. That's a good word. That's worth the price of admission tonight. God's wisdom is a gift from God that protects you from decisions that could haunt you for a lifetime. Wow, that's good. Wisdom is a gift that gives you the confidence to carry on or to stop. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, God ordered our steps and our stops. Wisdom cuts through confusion and replaces it with clarity. Wisdom warns of impending danger. That's a good word. Wisdom is always packaged, though, with humility and fear of the Lord. Go to the book of Job for a moment. Just go with me to the book of Job. And we're going to read this text, and we'll just kind of end with this passage. But this is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Job chapter 28. If there was ever a man in the Word of God that needed wisdom, it was Job. In Job chapter 28, verse 12, he says, but where shall wisdom be found? They're still turning. That's good. Job chapter 28. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Skip down to verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. Look at verse 28. This is tremendous. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That's a great text. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To depart from evil, there you go. That's understanding. So again, when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about God's wisdom. You say, Pastor, do you honestly, truly believe? I mean, think about it, preacher. We're pretty smart. It's not your intellect, friend. Wisdom is not your intellect. It has nothing to do with your intellect. My granddaddy had a third grade education, but my granddaddy was one of the wisest men I've ever met in my life. Often a very soft-spoken man, but he was also a man that, my observation, walk with God. He was a man that read God's word all the time. He was a man that prayed. He was a man that sought God's heart. I really believe that. So it has nothing to do with your intellect. It has nothing to do with your education. You have to acknowledge that you need it. How do you get wisdom? You have to acknowledge that you need it. You lack it, right? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So you have to acknowledge, there has to be acknowledged need. Second of all, you have to ask. If any man lack, let him ask of God. Thirdly, you have to ask in faith, believing that God indeed will give that to you. You say, preacher, I really want God's wisdom. Well, do you believe he's going to give it to you? You have to believe. You have to have faith, and indeed, that he'll do that. So we rest in the fact that, yes, indeed, God can give it. And I'll tell you, friend, you say, preacher, pastor, what would be the areas where I would need God's wisdom? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. Every area of your life. Every area of our lives, in our work, in our marriage, and if we're parent, mercy. We need God's wisdom, do we not, in raising children? What about in ministry? If you serve in any capacity, any type of ministry, man, I really encourage you as your pastor, make the prayer for God's wisdom a daily prayer. Teaching a Sunday school class, you need God's wisdom. You know why? Because God knows more about those students than you ever can or I ever could. So when we seek God's heart and we seek His will and we seek His wisdom, you'll be amazed at what God can do. You'll be amazed at what God can do in that class if you seek God's wisdom in it. Where are you at right now? Where are you at tonight? Are you in the middle of a trial? Start praying for God's wisdom. You're in the middle of a situation, preacher, in the middle of a storm. Ask God for His wisdom. He'll give it to you. He absolutely will give it to you. But also, maybe you've come through trials. Say, Pastor, I've come through some horrible things in my life. Yeah, and here's what I know about my God. The Lord Jesus never wastes a trial. He's going to use you. He's going to use you, and He's going to use your story for His honor and glory. He'll do it. I've seen Him do it. We've got to rest in Him. We've got to have faith in that. Remember those three things? Wisdom, prayer. I mean, you know, so many things, so many thoughts in the context of wisdom. Faith is the third thing. Do you ask God for it? I hope you will. Let's all stand, please, for invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond, please do that. Maybe you're here without Jesus. You don't know Christ as Savior. Sweet friend, I encourage you tonight, repent. Believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the saving of your soul. He'll save you. Maybe you are saved. Say, preach, I know the Lord's my Savior, but man, I just need a church home. Our doors are wide open. We'd love to have you. You come as we sing. What's the number, Brother Ryan? 268. Thank you, Lord. 268. Thank you, Lord. You